Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I know you're not used to seeing me here, especially to deliver the message for the evening. Usually when you see me up here, it's somebody's down here in a box. You know, we do a lot of funerals. So, if by some reason you hear your name in the middle of my message, make sure you're still sitting upright, okay? I don't want to do any funerals tonight. I do not count my giftings nor my actual ministry necessarily pulpit ministry. I feel like I have found my niche in the church, and that is to do service, and I couldn't be happier about that. So just for whoever is responsible for this, I'm not happy tonight. I'm just joking. Dwight, you opened the door on reminiscing, and I have to say this. First time I stood on this platform about here and not necessarily in the choir loft was 25 years ago. I stood here and married my wonderful wife. And they have been 25 of the most wonderful years of my life, bar none. And I thank God every day for Esther. We were the second couple to get married at Central Assembly in this new auditorium. Moving on. I want to bring to you tonight a message about the season that we're in. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in this most holy season, probably being the most disturbed, distracted, and upset of all of the year. And that's not the way it should be. It should not be that way. We live in a world that causes us to worry or to be concerned about nearly everything we see and hear of on a daily basis. And we stress about everything from our own meager lives to what's happening around the world. It's reported that stress-related ailments cost our country about $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity, while our usage of sedative drugs keeps skyrocketing. The Journal of American Medical Association cited a study that indicates an exponential increase in depression. People of each generation in the 20th century were three times more likely to experience depression than people in the previous generation. And this is the one that really caught my attention. Psychologist Robert Leahy has stated, the average child today exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient of the 1950s. Let that sink in for a moment. Children today exhibiting the same level of anxiety as psychiatric patients of the 1950s. But enough about the bad news. That's only going to cause us more anxiety before I get this message preached. I think we sometimes feel that the presence of anxiety, it's just unavoidable. But I'm here to declare to you tonight that the prison that anxiety creates is totally up to you. That prison is optional. It's up to you how you decide you're going to handle your anxiety. Read with me, if you will, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and I'm using the New Century Version because it really said exactly what I'm wanting to convey to you tonight. And you know this well, Philippians chapter 4, be full of joy in the Lord always. And I will say it again, be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respectful. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. As believers, we are not exempt from worry, all right? We have been taught that the Christian life is a life of peace, and when we don't have that peace, we assume that there's a problem within us. So that not only causes us to feel anxious, but it also makes us feel guilty about our anxiety. Anxiety is not a sin. Anxiety is an emotion. Anxiety can, however, lead to sinful behavior. Anxiety can lead to behavior that, if it is left unchecked, becomes toxic and leads us to actions that hurt, that divide, and even alienate us from our families. If you look at the chaos and the turmoil that is happening in so many families today, it's because the parents or the children, for whatever reason, are experiencing so much anxiety that there is absolutely no peace whatsoever that they can find in their lives. Luke 21:34, Jesus said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Now, if you will permit me, I want to read that same verse from the Message because it put us right in the middle of this particular season. And that same verse says, but be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Have you sat for hours with a list? Now, what am I going to buy my dad? What am I going to buy my mom? What am I going to buy the kids? What will I buy for the grandchildren so that the parents aren't upset that I bought them all the noisy toys to bring home? You know, you sit and you fret over the list. Who wants to go to Battlefield Mall? Oh, come on. The anxiety, the stress. That's why God gave us Amazon. I know there's a lot to be said about that. So is our month of greatest celebration going to be filled with anxiety, or is it going to be that blessed silent night, holy night, all is calm. All is bright. My message from this point on is a recipe about being anxious for nothing. It is a sure way to make sure that the season does not get to us before the big day gets here. I have an acrostic for you that's going to help you remember what this holy season is about. And I'm using an acrostic because Pastor Jim does that all the time, and I feel if I at least get that close, I might have a winner on my hands, you know? celebrate God's goodness. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Celebrate God's goodness in the midst of your turmoil and your strife and your anxieties. Always look for ways to praise God in the middle of being frantic. You can become frantic, but you don't have to stay there. When you find yourself in that state, program your head to say, you know what? I need to celebrate God's goodness right now. How will you express your joy for God's goodness today? When you get so frantic about the trappings of the season, stop and reflect on how great God is to you. And if you can't think of what to praise Him for, simply start with, thank you, God, that I am your child. Thank you that I am no longer a slave to sin. And it's only because of God's goodness that you are a child of the King. If you never went any further than that, you have all you need to celebrate the goodness of God in your life. He has redeemed us. He has changed us. He has made us new creatures. That's only by the goodness of God. That is not by anything that we could ever do for ourselves. If I focus on the goodness of God, I do not have time to get caught up in being a mess. If I keep my eyes on Him who is good to me all the time, all the time He is good to us, and we need to celebrate His goodness. Not ours. We need to celebrate His goodness. Second, to get that calm that you need in your life, ask God for help. Verse 6 says, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you feel helpless, when you feel like you don't know where to start or which end is up, just stop and talk to the one who does know. It will amaze you to see how much God does for you when you simply ask Him to. Sometimes you forget that He is the ever-present help in time of need. Sometimes you forget that He is the giver of every good gift. And if you find that you forget those things that you ask Him for, if you forget that you ask for certain things that you're not just trying to heap all these good things upon yourself, if you can't remember those things, you need to start journaling. Write down what you ask God for. When you get into that long litany of things that you want God to do for you, write those things down. And either at the end of the day, or a week from now, or a month from now, go back and look at what you had asked God for. And I think you will be amazed to see that He has answered your prayers. I believe that you will see that He has been good to you. And I believe that you will be able to see that you have taken a lot of what He has done for you for granted. Ask God for help. He has answered your prayers. He has come to your rescue. He has calmed the waters and stopped the storms of your life. You have not because you've asked not. Ask God for help. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Ask God for help. He is not going to judge you based on what you've asked him for. He will not condemn you. Now, sometimes if you ask foolishly, he may come back and say, you know what? You've asked for patience, so I'm going to give you tribulation. That was fresh in my mind because I talked to someone this morning about patience, and they said, I'm sorry, but I will not pray for patience again. And I understood what they were talking about. The David Jain translation of this verse simply says, you don't have what you need because you haven't asked for it. You have not come to God asking for the help that you so desperately need. Ask God for help. Thirdly, leave your concerns with him. Verse 6 simply says, with thanksgiving. Ask with thanksgiving. Recount his blessings and remember what he has done in your life. Be thankful for the provision that he has already made. If there's anything that I really tried to do in raising my daughters was to make them thankful, to teach them to be thankful, not only for what others had done for them, but especially for what God had done. I promise you, if you learn to be thankful for what God has done for you, these other situations aren't going to be all that big. Because when you are being thankful, you are realizing what God has done in your life, what he has provided, what he has done. When you go to bed at night, review the concerns that you left with God in the morning. This morning, Lord, when I came and asked you to help me through the day, I was facing a difficult situation. And you know what, Lord? It just went beautifully. Thank you for that. Thank him for relieving you of those anxious thoughts that bring you to that place where you start twiddling your thumbs and picking at your fingers. You may even be able to say, Lord, I even forgot what I had asked you for this morning. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And again, I'm going to read this to you because I believe it says so much, and I'm reading it to you from the message. And if any of you are having problems with the message, I'm sorry. Put your fingers in your ear. But this is good. This is so good. It says, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Thank God, though, we've got clothes to hang on these bodies. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than the birds. Leave your concerns with him. That's my ad. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as even an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. Leave your concerns with him. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality. God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when they do. Leave your concerns with him. I love that passage of scripture because it simply says, man, we know by God's word that man is the crowning glory of God's creation. And then he goes back to some of the smallest, most tiny animals that he created, and he says, if he has done that for these, how much more is he going to do for you? Leave those concerns with him. Don't worry about what's going to happen. And fourth, meditate on good things. Verse 8, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. You know, any time that you change a behavior, you have to exchange that behavior with another behavior. You never get to just go, there's always one for another. So if you are leaving your concerns with the Lord, your new behavior must be to think differently and to think about different things. We're no longer thinking about trials and testings of the day, but we instead start to think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. I'm here to tell you that there is power in the mind, and there is power in what you think about, and there is power in what you don't think about. Think on these things. I believe in the power of the mind. I just don't have any. That's the problem I'm having. Power in the mind. You totally missed that. Or either y'all went to sleep, I'm not sure, okay? As you look at the day and everything that is needing to happen, don't forget to plan your day to include that time alone with God. Meditate on good things. In that time when you are meeting with the Lord, and you know what? I hate when somebody comes and tells you, you know, you've got to do it this way. This is the way it works. This is the way it worked for me, so I know this is the way it's going to work for you. Sorry. Nothing that works for you ever works for me. I don't care if it's good or bad. It never does, okay? So thank you for the advice. I'll make sure it works, but it's going to work in the way that it works for me. I crisscross this town a lot in my car. And I can tell you right now, there's a lot of good time where I start to think about things that are dealing with the spiritual aspects of my life, of my work, of what's happening around me. You think even when you don't realize you think. But I want you to also know you can be thinking about the right things once you adopt that behavior of thinking about the good things. You know as well as I do that there are people that never can open their mouth that you don't hear something negative or downcast or just like, oh my goodness, will they ever make it through to lunch? And it's because people train their minds to think about what they want to think about. There's got to be a change of behavior. You focusing on Jesus rather than on yourself. Man, we live in a society that it's all about me. We live in a time when we're already thinking, so what am I going to get for Christmas? How many of us think about, so what can I give this year? I know December 31st is coming, and I know that I want to invest in God's kingdom and in the work of His kingdom. And if I want credit for it, it has to be done by December 31st. Carter, that one was just for you. Get your offerings in. It's what you can give. Thinking about what you can give, not about what you're going to get. We're not children anymore. We are not children anymore. We don't think about Christmas as being what we're going to get. We already got what we're going to get for Christmas, and that was Jesus coming to forgive us and to save us and to give us a new life. Changing the thought, changing what we think about, changing the scenery in your mind. Think or dwell on these things. Think on the things that are beautiful. Rehearse to yourself, He is the reason for the season. There's no other reason for us to celebrate the holidays. Oh, I'll tell you what, I can't wait to watch our grandson open gifts this year. He's 2 and a half, he can tear anything apart. And I am so looking forward to that. But that's still not the reason for Christmas. He gets gifts all through the year, so it's not just for Christmas. Jesus is the primary focus of our hearts and lives, especially right now. Should be all year long. But in this season, in this time when we can be so easily taken by what all is happening and what needs to be done and where we should go, what have you? Jesus needs to be the focus, and we need to teach our minds that. Allow yourself to dictate what you are going to focus on today, what you're going to meditate on. And when you have the privilege and the right to do that, you can make those what you think about good things, honorable things. Allow yourself to dictate what you're going to focus on today. Now, I said day because we do not need, nor should we focus on anything more than today. Tomorrow carries its own baggage, but that is not yours today. Meditating on good things today is not worrying about tomorrow. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't be worrying about the in-laws and the outlaws that are coming to dinner on Christmas Day. You still have 3 weeks to plan. Now, I brought that up because for some people, that is a great concern. Family dynamics are not always wonderful. And so when you know it's inevitable that they are coming, you start worrying about what Uncle Fred's going to say that Aunt Mary's not going to like. And you start worrying about where everybody's going to sit around the table and who you can put next to who and who you shouldn't put next to that person. And good planning is not the same thing as worrying. You know how you plan for that? Give it to God. Give it to the Lord. You know what, Lord? If Uncle Frank and Aunt Mary don't get along, we're going to let you take care of that. And you know what? It might be an exciting day. Meditate on God's blessings for today. Meditate on how He is going to use you today. Think on these things. I'm not going to be foolish enough to stand here and tell you that you shouldn't think about what's going to happen, what you need to do, how you need to plan. But I am here to tell you, you don't have to fret about it. You don't have to worry about it. You can say, you know what, Lord? I know you've got that under control as well, so I'm just going to leave it with you. And it's amazing how often when we simply take it that simply, we're amazed by what God does in our lives. You know what, Lord? I'm just not going to worry about this anymore. That's it. I'm done. We've tried it all different ways. We've tried it my way. We've tried it everyone else's way. You know, Lord, we're just going to give it to you and let you deal with it. And I'm going to tell you something. You will just be absolutely flabbergasted at what God will do when you turn it over to Him. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Think about those things that are going to bring praise to the name of our God, who is so good to us. So there's your recipe for calm. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help. Leave your concerns with Him and meditate on good things. All is calm. All is bright. Now sleep in heavenly peace.